I'll tell you, when I was, before we get to the message, right before Pastor asked me to be able to preach on this Super Sunday, the Lord has already laid a message on my heart, and it's amazing for this theme that we have, do it again, Lord. And actually, as I was praying and seeking the Lord in it, I titled the message, It's Not Too Late to Do It Again. It's not too late to do it again. We're going to turn into Joel. It's in the Old Testament, and I'll tell you, it's very encouraging for the past Wednesday nights as these pastors started the Old Testament scriptures, and I'll tell you, it's amazing, and I'm so excited, and hopefully everybody's able to be there for Wednesday nights, and I'll tell you, it's very encouraging, most encouraging service of the week. And so turn to Joel chapter 2. I'm going to just read a couple of verses and then give you a little context about the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, not Job. Joel chapter 2. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll go ahead and dive right into the message. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Just thank you for this time. And just thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to be used of you. Lord, I pray you just direct in the words. And Lord, I pray you just bless as we open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you just give us strength, you'll give us help. Lord, you give us peace. And Lord, I pray you just bless as we allow you to work in our lives. Lord, I pray you just continue, Lord, to work in us. And Lord, I pray you just bless the message. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Joel chapter 2, we'll just read a couple of verses and then we'll give you a little context about Joel. But here's the main key couple of verses for tonight's sermon. And I'm not going to try to make it super long. Like a super, you know, has everything been super? I'll make sure it won't be super short as well, but it's not going to be super long, maybe super medium. So hopefully that sounds pretty good as well. But in Joel chapter 2, I'm going to start reading verse 23. And I want you to notice verse 25 as we notice, but let's go back to verse 23. It says, Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain and the first month. Verse 24, the floors shall be full of the wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Now, what you notice is verse 25, and then also verse 26 and verse 27. And it says in verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. A shame. And as we, you know, move back to Joel chapter 1, and, you know, Joel, you know, I haven't read Joel too much during my time, and as I turn to Joel, it's amazing what you glean from the very word of God. And as we think about Joel, you know, you think about the very nation of Israel, you know, they are, you know, pretty much in trouble. They are, you know, in constant, you know, under constant by their enemies. And also, as we'll be reading a little bit about that, and they also will notice that they will experience a terrible drought and ultimately a massive invasion of pretty much locusts. And then as we, you know, as these tragedies have left, pretty much all the land ruined and pretty much all the people demoralized. And as, you know, as Joel is writing this book, he uses these events as an illustration of God's judgment upon Israel. No, hey, you know, their specific sin, hey, is not, you know, specifically named, but as we read through the book of Job, we can point it down that, you know, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, has slipped into a state of complacency, and then also, you know, an apathy about the things of God. You know, as you think about and look in chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now you think about, you know, the very book of Job. I remember when I went into the Old Testament survey class in college, you know, I think I, if I remember correctly, it was at 7:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh, man, you have to wake up 6. You got to get ready. You got to make sure your shirt ironed, your tie on. Next, you know, you're all ready for class at 7:30 in the morning. Anybody early morning persons? Only a couple. I think I see a couple. And so I think I wasn't as an early morning because a lot of the guys love staying late at night. And so ultimately I probably didn't get to go to sleep till like 12 or 1 a.m. every night. But I remember as we studied the Old Testament survey, you know, we did a theme, we did a key verse, we did, you know, illustration about the book of Job. And as we narrowed down to the, you know, the essential theme, you know, of Job is, you know, judgment. But, you know, also Joel is also a book of hope. And as we, you know, take a look, you know, God's people, and as we're talking about the nation of Israel here, are made to understand that, hey, that even in the midst of a divine judgment, you know what, and even in the midst of divine judgment, hey, there is always hope. And that they, if they would just simply seek the Lord. You know, the book of Joel, you know, also, you know, was written to the very people of Israel. You know, it deals with their past and also deals, you know, with their future and also looks back, you know, to the judgment of God, you know, on them for their sins. Now, also as we look, you know, also the book of Joel looks forward into the very coming glorious days and the very blessings of the Lord when we get to be, you know, in heaven with him for eternity. Now, as we, you know, think about, you know, this very book, you know, hey, it's written to the Jew, but also, you know, as we go throughout all the scriptures, you know, from the very book of Genesis to the very end of Revelation, you know what? We can always pick and glean something from the very precious word of God. And as I titled this message, and as, you know, I titled this thought, you know, hey, it's not too late to do it again. You know, as we think about, we look at our nation, and we think, as we look about our world, we think, you know, hey, is there hope in this world? You know, hey, is there any hope for the future? You know, is there any hope for revival? Is there any hope that, you know, there will be any promises or anything that's going to help us in these dark days? But as we look in these verses, as we look throughout the book of Joel, you know, we can understand, hey, there is hope. Hey, there is hope if we just simply seek the Lord. So give you a good old Baptist preacher, 3-point sermon, but hopefully it won't be too long. But as we look into the book of Joel, I want you to go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll notice 3 points. You know, I'm going to have some subpoints, but we're going to notice 3 points. And ultimately, they all start with the same letter, so which is pretty easy to memorize. So let's go ahead back to Joel chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, and all the inhabitants of the land. Had this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." And notice this, as we go stop in verse 4, we will notice the first point. It says, "That which the palmer worm hath the locust eaten, that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and which the canker worm hath left the caterpillar eaten." Man, say that again. Let me repeat that verse again. It says that which the palmer warmer hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left the caterpillar eaten. You know, as we think about, you know, the very first point, and we'll go a couple verses, you know, as we go throughout the book of Joel. Now, I want you to notice, you know, ultimately the problem. Now, ultimately, the problem that the nation of Israel is facing, and as we think about even in verse 4, you know, they face devastation. You know, you think about that instinct, this insect, and all these insects, you know, pretty much, you know, they destroyed and they ruined the very crops that the very nation of Israel is able to eat. And ultimately, you know, you think about it, there was no food left for them to eat. And I'll tell you, if I can't go without food, man, I'm going to be hungry. And the next, you know, I'll be like, man, I've got to go there, got to go there. But ultimately, hey, you know, the nation of Israel, you know, and all those people that, you know what, it left them with no food. But also, let's keep reading. It says, verse 5, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, and all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white." Now you think about, you know, hey, they had devastation of their crops. You know, hey, you think about the very, you know, hey, maybe for a couple of days, hey, I'll be managed to eat nothing. But, you know, that would be hard for me. But also, you notice, you know, also they face destruction. You know, they face an invasion from even surrounding nations. You know, as, you know, these armies would came and destroyed all their vineyards and ultimately all their orchards. And you think about all the apple trees and all the vineyards. And, you know, next you know, you're starting to, man, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to survive on this nation here? And, you know, as it says in verse 6, you know, "For a nation has come upon my land that is," what it says, "strong and without number, whose teeth are teeth of a lion, and at the cheek teeth of a great lion." No, these are strong. These are numbers. He seems to be too powerful for even the very nation of Israel to stop. And, you know, seem, hey, you know, ultimately, you know, the end result, hey, they're going to starve, and ultimately they're going to, what, pretty much just fall down, and, you know, there they go. Well, let's keep reading. It says in verse 8, "Lament like a virgin girdeth with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How, O ye vineyard dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. In verse 12, it says, "The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, and the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men." No, they face, you know, as you know, you think about, you know, they even face a severe drought. You know, and you think about, you know, hey, you got all these, this insect has taken all these crops. You know what? Hey, I can't eat that. Hey, the next you know, they take all their orchards. They take all their vineyards, and there's that. And the next you know it, as they are desolate, as they face desolation, you know, there was no rain for those crops to be able to be sprouted back up. And ultimately what, they all, you know, as it says, you know, verse 12, all the apple trees, all the palm trees, even all the trees are simply withered away. And you think about how devastating that is. You know, I can't imagine, you know, even for maybe a couple of hours not eating. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, just think about it. The very problem that, hey, you know, maybe for the, even the very nation of Israel, hey, it's a big problem. You know, we think about even problems in our life. You know, hey, it might not be this specific problem, but we could think about maybe, you know, something that came up in our lives, or something, you know, that we're just simply struggling with, or something we're trying to, you know, ultimately, you know, get better at. And as we think about these problems, you know, also, you know, think about, you know, it says in verse 14, also think about, you know, the very discipline that they had. And it says, verse 14, it says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." It says, verse 15, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall come." You know what? Hey, none of these things were accidental. Now, none of these is, you know, oh, poof, and the next you know, they lost their crops. They lost their orchards. They lost pretty much everything. We think, even think about the very book of Job, how he lost everything. No, it just didn't come, you know, by accident. And as, you know, as ultimately, you know, it says in verse 2 and verse 25, you know, Joel, ultimately, you know, they were, you know, this was bringing God's judgment, you know, upon the land. Now, you know, the people, you know, think about the very nation of Israel. Hey, they turn against the Lord, and they're ultimately paying the price of rebellion. Job, as we see even in verse 15, Job called all their troubles. It says in verse 15, "Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand." And every tragedy, that gripped them is ultimately, it's the very work of the Lord. And as he's working, as he's judging his people, ultimately, for his sins. Now, as we think about even the very judgment of, the very nation of Israel, we can even think about the very judgment, ultimately, that our world's going to be facing. Now, ultimately, we think, even the very, about our nation, about everything that's going on right now. And, there can be little doubt, that we are facing judgment in America. As we even think about, all these sicknesses, all these natural disasters, and ultimately, they are coming, apart. Ultimately, you think about even, how devastating could be even inflation. Inflation rate has been going so high. And ultimately, these are not just, accidental. Ultimately, they can be all part of ultimately God's plan. But, we even think about the very sin and evil, in the world. Once we go out of these church doors, there's so much sin. We have a world that's called, that's ultimately, calls evil good and what good evil. Now, we are living in a society that ultimately, that protects the wicked, that protects, themselves and ultimately punishes the righteous. Now, we are living in a world that ultimately is ultimately replacing faith with fear. Now, we are living in a world ultimately that places sin, with sanity. We have greed that, replace God. We have hatred. And, think about all these things and, how devastating could be. We could even face, those devastating things, even in the church. And as we, as we think about even today's worship, and you go to so many churches, and I remember one time when I was in back down in Tennessee, a friend of mine from work inviting me to go to their church for a meal, and I went, and ultimately, that church was, totally not right with the Lord. You think about even the very preaching, has pretty much turned into praise songs. They had all sorts of worship. You think about, even in today's churches has, how they ultimately, the very preaching of a God, and, ultimately, as we have that time, and as we look into God's word, ultimately, what they're replacing by just praise songs and, praise worship songs. They even have a praise pastor and all that. As we think about even, commitment, ultimately has been what replaced by complacency. Even we think, their pews are full, but ultimately, you think about the very heart of that church, as the altar are empty. So many people, get so excited over a shopping trip, ultimately, over a shopping trip, than we do even a revival meeting. And how important it is to be when those doors are open. How important it is, even though, yes, we may be going through something, I might have some fear, but ultimately, when God's doors are open, I'm going to make sure I'm stepping right in those doors. And, so many people, they rather play than pray. Just have our ears tickled by, than our hearts being totally searched, by God. You think about the world of entertainment, has gotten so many people away from the very ministry of God. We rather stay like who we, like what we were before, than what God can ultimately make us. As you think about, the very judgment of God, and as we think about, ultimately the very nation of Israel, they lost pretty much almost, they lost their crops, they lost all, the fields, they lost, ultimately everything just vanished right away. But ultimately, as God is bringing that judgment upon the very nation of Israel, notice ultimately number two, their plea. Look in verse 12 with me in chapter 2. And it says in verse 12 in chapter 2, "Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me." And notice, how God uses these words, "with all your heart." You know, it's not some of your heart. It's not, you know, hey, you know what? You know, keep some of this here. You know, then I want you to give me this. But he says, hey, I want you to give me all of your heart. And notice, and it says, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for I'm so thankful that he is this. For he is a gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify it fast, call solemn assembly. Now you think about, you know, hey, there's a plea as we even read these verses. Hey, there's a plea for repentance. You know, as they're pleading for repentance, and as we think about, genuine repentance is ultimately their only hope for survival. You know, as God is saying in, you know, verse 12, as he's saying, turn ye even to me. And as he's using these words, with all your heart, and with fastings, and with weeping and mourning. Hey, give me everything. And you know what? You know, I tell you, it's amazing how the Lord just blesses us when we, you know, say, you know what? Whether it be circumstance, whether it be something hard we're going through, and you know what? You know, just take it off my shoulders and just pretty much place it with him. You know, how, you know, it sounds so easy. But you know what? Sometimes as humans, and we deal with a sinful nature, we make it so hard than what it have to be. No, as we, you know, as they're making a plea, you know, hey, ultimately with their hearts, and you know, ultimately, you know, God is, you know, is not looking, hey, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, hey, you know, just the external, but he's all ultimately he's looking in the heart. You know, the other day I went out, well, actually on Saturday went out visitation, and I remember handing one of the guys a flyer. You know, he sounded like he was very excited. But ultimately, you know, he said, oh, you're a Baptist? I don't want, you know, then he just closed the door. No, hey, ultimately it's not about, you know, domination. It's ultimately about what? Trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And ultimately, you know, knowing, hey, from that, knowing what church you should be in, and knowing, hey, what doctrine, as we have the very precious KJV, you know, Bible with us today. You know, it's amazing, you know, how, you know, God is ultimately, as he's saying, hey, turn to me. Hey, trust in me. Because you know what? Notice, as we read our key verses, hey, he's going to bless even bountifully if, you know, just simply trust and have the hope in God. You know, as he's looking for people, hey, that, you know, looking, hey, that really wants that heart change. He's looking for people, you know, who will be sorrowful over their sins. You know, as he says, and with fastings and with weeping and with mourning. And as we see here, you know, as we think about that genuine repentance, you know, ultimately, you know, the only hope we have, you know, God's still looking for a people that, you know what, hey, that is sorrowful over their sins. Hey, you know what, when we commit a sin, hey, you know what, we got to stop right there and confess it. Hey, you know, we can't, you know, live old life just like, you know, it never ever happened. And I'm thankful that he forgives. And I'm thankful that he's there. And, you know, he's still looking for people that, you know, hey, that he can bless. He's still looking for people that, you know, wants to be honest and, you know, about their condition. And ultimately, who will deal with it, with their sins. You know, God's way. And, hey, not my way. Now, as we think about the very judgment, you know, of the nation of Israel, you know, as we look about even in our judgment in America, you know, hey, we are longing for a revival. Hey, we are longing for a heart change. And as we think about, you know, hey, the world may mock us. Hey, the world may say, you know what? Hey, you know, make us, you know, even, you know, sad. But, you know, ultimately, you know what? You know what's our main focus is simply trusting in him. Hey, you know what? I'm thankful that God can do it again. But notice with me in verse 15, back in Joel chapter 2, and it says, blow the trumpets in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, and gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, and the heathen shall rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Hey, there's a plea for restoration. As God's calling, hey, bring everybody in. Hey, to the very youngest, to the very oldest. And as he calls for those, for those who are occupied by consuming matters of life, ultimately it's a simply, hey, trust in me. Hey, come and come all together. And he calls on all spiritual leaders, the people to simply what? To come back to the Lord. He wants his people to seek him again. He wants his people to get hungry and thirsty at the very words of Christ. He wants them to go and press on to do it again for the Lord and for him. Now, as we think about even that very word sanctify, it means to separate, it means to be holy, it means to consecrate, it means to dedicate. Ultimately, hey, God is calling, his people back to him. We live in a generation that puts everything ahead of God. You think about the very things we live in this world. We live in a generation that yields itself to everything but God. We live in a generation that has simply, abandoned God. I don't need God. Hey, I'm good. I got everything I need. But Hey, I don't need that God you have. And as we see here, people need to come to a place where they reach to a place, making God is their first priority. Making God, first place in their life. And I remember talking to Anna, many, many months ago, and, even before we got engaged, as we were talking about marriage, and ultimately, we come to, as we mentioned, we're going to make sure God's first in our relationship. Hey, not each other. Hey, not each person. Hey, not a family member, but ultimately, God first in a relationship. But notice, ultimately, the last point, and look at verse 18 with me. And it says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yet the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make your reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. It will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part towards the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 23, but be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. As we think about, the very promise, hey, there's a promise of restoration. As we think about even, as they plead for the restoration, there's a promise of the restoration. And God promises, hey, to deliver them from their enemies. And as we think about the very enemies that we have, even in this world, and the very same promise that, hey, the very nation of Israel has, the very same promise that we have. Hey, he is able to deliver us from our enemies. And as he's saying, hey, he's promising, hey, I'm going to feed you. Hey, you don't have to worry about all those crops. Hey, you don't have to worry about not having that vineyard. Hey, you don't have to worry about all that drought, because Hey, I am going to feed you. And as he, said, hey, I am going to bless you. Hey, I'm going to make sure that you are good and to satisfy you, God, everybody. And it says, ultimately, the only, thing is, if they will come to him, he will restore that place of blessing. Hey, he will restore that food. Hey, he will restore, that facing those enemies. And also notice, it says in verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain. Moderately he will cause to come down for you the rain and the former rain and the latter rain the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years of the locusts hath eaten, and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Hey, you know what? There's also a promise of revival. You know, as we pray for revival, as we long for revival, you know, hey, there is promise. Hey, for revival, you know, God promises. Hey, as you think about even in, you know, how he uses the former and latter rains, and, you know, that former rains would usually fall, you know, and usually in October, November, and ultimately, hey, they help replenish that soil into preparation for the next, you know, as they plant for the next season. You know, as it mentions in verse 23, the latter, you know, rains usually fell in March and then also in April, and they came just in time, what, for that harvest would be ultimately bountiful of supplies so they can eat. And, you know, also, you know, God promised, hey, to replace everything that they have lost during that time. Hey, during those days of droughts, during those days of devastation, hey, you know what? He is promising, hey, a revival of his blessings on that land. And, you know, you know what? We need that this day. No, we need that today, even in the land of America, even the United States, even in Boonesboro, Maryland. Hey, we need that type of revival. You know, hey, you know what? So many people are so, you know, happy of being drought, seeing drought days. You know, so many people are willing to put fear over faith. And ultimately, we need, you know, him to send what heavily rains upon us. You know, again and again, you know, as, you know, we need to get, what, ultimately give back everything, even the very enemy tries to take away from us. You know, we need a revival ultimately of his manifest presence, you know, among his people. And I, you know, I encourage you, you know, even with the very revival, that we will seek his face and ask him for that move and ask him for, you know, what we need desperately in these wicked and terrible days. But also in verse 26, and it says, ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now you think about the very promise of rejoicing. You know, there's so much, you know, as I think about even in my life that we can rejoice on. You know, I'm thankful that, hey, I'm able to be here. I'm thankful that God gave me another day. And, you know, we could just keep rolling and rolling. And, you know, you think about, you know, having a cup, you know, placing it right here. And you think about all the blessings. You know what? It'll just simply overflow. And the next year, it will probably just fill the whole church. The next year, it will expand through the whole church into the whole wide world. And we have, you know, as we think about Valentine's Day, we have a loving God that even through these dark days, even through, hey, maybe even times when we go through devastation, even times when we go through droughts in our life, hey, you know what? That he is always going to be there. That, hey, he's right there. And even times when we feel like he's not there, I tell you, it's amazing how he just comes over, put his arm right on you. You know, many times, you know, I, you know, went through times of, you know, you may be thinking of something, but, you know, I'll tell you, you know what? The Lord's there. He's helping you. You know, you don't know what path to go on. You don't know what direction to go to. And ultimately, you know, just simply, you know, you think about even, you know, verse 27, it says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. You know what? There's also a promise of realization. You know, when we think about that restoration comes, you know what? Hey, you know what? You know what the nation of Israel going to know? Hey, they're going to know, even in the midst, that, you know what, he, that God, you know, not, hey, my pleasures, hey, not what I like, hey, not the world, not video games, not, you know, anything that come our way, but only what Christ alone is our, what, source of strength. No, he's our power, and he is our blessing. You think about even how God used Gideon, you know, as he started out with, what, 32,000 men, and ultimately at God dwindled that army down to 300 men. Versus, you know, I believe 100,000 or more. How God used those 300 men. And you think about, you know, maybe God was using that. If God would have used 32,000 men, hey, they might have got glory in themselves. Hey, they may, we won. But ultimately, when the stakes are that low, when the stakes are, hey, Lord, we need you. You know what? You know who's the one that can get the glory out of that? The Lord. hey, it's not through me. Hey, it's not through my friend. It's not through, hey, even our spouse. Ultimately, you know, it's only from the very source of God alone. You know, as you think about, you know, even the very need that we have today, you know what? We need revival. Hey, we need people on fire for the Lord. Hey, we need people that's willing to take a stand. And, you know, even in this very wicked world, hey, we need people that, hey, you're willing to go knock on doors. Hey, we need people that's, hey, you know what? Hey, you know, there's a task need to be done. You know, I'm so thankful that we have so many people that's willing to do this. And you know what? We'll get it done. And as we think about, you know, about this, you know, about the promise, you know, about the plea, and also, you know, about, well, the promise, the plea, and then also the, the plea, and also the problem. You know, notice how God used, you know, the very nation of Israel. You know, the same way, you know, God can use the nation of Israel, the very same way God can use you. You know, hey, you know, it may be through, you know, a time of drought. It may be a time of something that's, you know, so strong that, you know, ultimately the only way out is ultimately by trusting him through it. You know, as we think about so many times, we think about this, when we go through these doors, there's so much that's going to try to get us down. There's so much that's going to try to, you know, hey, you know, but ultimately, hey, let's remember, hey, that the Lord can do it again. You know, let's keep remembering how, that the Lord can do it again. You know what? He can do it again. You know what? Years ago, you know what? He can do it again. Right now, in 2022, hey, we still only begun the year, and we still have many more months to go. So let's try to keep remembrance as we think about the very book of Joel, and ultimately to keep pressing on and to keep knowing, hey, through it all, he is our source, he is our strength, he is our power, and ultimately he is our blessing. We're going to have every head bowed and eyes closed. We'll have Pastor come up here and also Miss Dawn. And I'm so thankful that